Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. I am joined today by Sean Fetteplace. And one of the things you said in the last segment was that Wisconsin is the best state, or the state that has done the most for small businesses in the recovery from the pandemic. Or is that, how did you say it?
That's right. We've done the most.
Is that per capita, or is that in totality?
That's per capita. And so if you look at, for example, New York State, they did about $900 million in support for small business. Wisconsin has done close to $700 million. And clearly, New York's a much bigger state than Wisconsin. So I think it's just because, you know, small business is so central to the Wisconsin economy. But it was also a very intentional effort because a lot of small businesses would have experienced the highest amount of job loss had they not been rescued. And so it was a real intentional priority by the governor to really make those investments. And if you're interested in learning more about how that money has been spent, you can go to badgerbounceback.wi.gov website, and it has a great resource to be able to see exactly how it was spent, where it was spent, by who. And that's the other thing, is that there's a tremendous amount of transparency about how that money's being spent as well, so that hopefully we can learn from this experience on what worked and what programs maybe we could make permanent into the future. So, you know, there's certainly more to go. There's certainly folks who fell through the cracks. It has not been perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I think there's been a real effort to prioritize small business in Wisconsin.
And this is what I think is fascinating as far as going to the, I honestly didn't, I obviously knew the term Badger Bounce Back. Like, that was kind of the name for all of the money that was coming in and how this, like, the plan, Evers' plan of how this was going to work. I did not know until we talked about this yesterday how comprehensive this website is, because I will admit that whether it was Milwaukee or Wisconsin, how much, I felt like there was always a headline of another program getting money or some kind of grant, or there's, you know, money coming for this, whether it was schools or first businesses or blah, blah, blah. And so, like, it was always exciting because it's like, for things that I feel like should be supported and you want to make sure don't fall through the cracks. But it's, unless you are a journalist and this is your beat, it is hard to feel like you're staying on top of, well, what difference is it making? And when you go to this website, which is badgerbounceback.wi.gov, it's so thorough in the ability to see where all the different money went. And so what has at least the membership of MSA, like, how many of them, like, would not have made it had this priority on small business not been there?
Yeah, I'll just use one example. Bounce Milwaukee, which is like a children's bounce house place. It's lovely. Becky, Cooper Clancy and Ryan Clancy own it in the Bayview neighborhood. And they were one of the most impacted businesses in the entire state because their whole thing was like a children's bounce house place. And prior to the vaccine being available,
You mean, you know, a bounce house isn't like the most COVID friendly place to take your kids to?
I'd say it's probably the worst possible place because, you know, having a 6-year old myself, I usually have some bodily fluid of his on me at some point or the other because he's running all over me. But, they did the responsible thing. They shut down. They gave severance to their staff. They tried to pivot, but they couldn't make enough to make it worth it. And they really had no pivot. And so we worked really hard to bring it to the attention of the governor's office and to the other folks to say, hey, you know, there's a lot of these other industries that have gotten a lot of support, and that's great. But live event venues like fairs had fallen through the cracks. And so we worked very, very diligently to working with the administration to try to design a grant program for that industry that could really meet their needs, but also guard against broader abuse. And thankfully, they announced a $33.25 million grant for that industry, and Bounce Milwaukee received $200,000 of that. Had they not gotten that money, they would have gone out of business. They would have had to lay off all their staff, and you would have had a great local cultural institution, go away. And so that's an example where there are countless members of ours, Cactus Club in Milwaukee. We recently held one of our U.S. Senate roundtables there. If not for the live event venue, that place would not have been open for us to do that. And so it started with the rescue plan, which was done by the Biden administration and by Congress. But ultimately, how those dollars were spent were determined by the governor. And so, you know, it's been, again, there's more to do, but many, many members of ours are only in business today because of that support. And in Wisconsin, over 110,000 small businesses got support in some form or another.
So, how do I want to phrase this? Why do you feel like in an election year, this is not the thing that the Evers administration and campaign is hanging their hat on? Because the numbers you're throwing out feel like a really big deal. Like 110,000 businesses getting some sort of support that TBD, had it been Scott Walker there on what, and the same fact set of the pandemic happening, all this money getting flooded in, and what the priorities would have been. But as far as the amount of people who largely got to stay in business because of the priority of spending the money to make sure that small businesses stayed in business as much as possible, why? Not that everything should come back to politics, but we are in an election year. This is Wisconsin, where everything, every statewide election comes down to 11,000 votes or whatever. And so why do you think there is not more press or just every day them talking about this? Especially because small business owners, I think, kind of historically, you think of our potentially more conservative in different parts of the state and are more favor of tax cuts and fiscal policy that is a little bit more, conservative. And so what do you kind of see as, is it just Midwest modesty?
Yeah, so I would say first off, that perception of small business owners being more conservative minded, I think is actually a product of the very long-term propaganda campaign by— By folks like the state chamber to convince people that's true. They maybe had a bigger megaphone over time. We're working to build our own megaphone with a different view on what's important for small business. But, as far as, I do think the administration is trying to go out and talk about this. It might not be getting covered by the political journalists as much in like the Journal Sentinel or the State Journal or whatever. But if you look at like Ladysmith's newspaper, La Crosse's newspaper, the TV stations up in the Fox Valley, like it's getting coverage. These stories are being told. But that said, it's really incumbent on these small business owners themselves to tell that story and to tell the story of how it helped and to make and to really advocate for better policy overall long term to help small businesses. So that's going to be something we're going to work very hard at to make sure that that story is told and that we have a fact-based discussion about what's happened over the course of the last 2 years, because the counterfactual is pretty bleak if this had not happened. And so for us, it's about how do we tell that story, and then also how do we make sure that we set a firmer foundation for the future.
I want to go back because I think that's interesting, because I would say I have totally bought into that. If it is a stereotype or if it is a myth, but as far as I have thought that small business owners are typically at least more business minded, and like business minded being this Republican talking point. And do you think that's something that has always been a myth, or is it something that has shifted because of how the parties have shifted over the last 10 years?
I think there's been a shift because, folks are coming to realize that the policies that best support them are things that the chamber and those groups are not pursuing. I couldn't tell you again, I hear from members to say, we will never tell people to cancel their membership to other organizations. They're doing it themselves and saying, this group doesn't represent me and my voice. Hmm. And for a long time, these folks have been lied to about, you know, really what those organizations are advocating for and convince them what's in their best interest. And I think now the pandemic is really, in many cases, illustrated to a lot of small business owners what actual good policy is when it comes to Main Street. So again, there's been, you know, a decades-long campaign funded mostly by billionaires and plutocrats to convince people that, you know, what's best for them is what's best for small businesses. Simply not true. And so we're just trying to bring a spotlight and help people tell their own story about what they actually need to help their business.
And how often, when you're in, I don't know, would you call it the recruitment process, when you are out going out and meeting with potential members? Is that the right word for it? Recruitment? Oh, Sean, did I lose you? Well, I can see your lips moving, but I cannot hear you. Well, this is fun. So we're going to start talking. So we were talking to Sean Fedeplace, and we were talking about the fact that he works with small businesses and across the state. There's over 500 different members that they have in the Main Street Alliance. And I was just thinking that it was super interesting, because especially working across different media outlets, and I think so often you that has been the stereotype, as being a small business and feeling like different tax policy would behoove you by voting for Republicans. And I think it's an interesting turn of events in general that as we enter this election year, very important election year, and we've seen the shift that is happening with the parties, in that at least when I was growing up, I think the assumption was that Republicans are the party of business and the party of conservative fiscal policy. And the fact that it feels like more and more there is less of that conversation happening, and at least the conversation I feel like I hear a lot more about is the social policy and the cultural issues. And so potentially that is part of the, maybe just the abandonment of the Republican Party focusing on fiscal policy. And so Sean's back with us, it looks like. And so, Sean, so when you are out talking to potential members to join Main Street Alliance, how often are they still in the mindset that they believe that like the GOP and different fiscal policy is, when it comes to taxes, is going to benefit them? And how much of that is still part of the conversation as you meet with people trying to get them to buy in to the core issues that MSA is working on?
Yeah, I'm very sorry for the technical difficulties. So I would say, honestly, I don't hear that
really
from small businesses. I mean, if you think about, you know, whether it's the restaurant industry, light manufacturers, whether it's childcare providers, whether it's, you know, folks who are, there's a, the Deliciousers, a spice company here in Madison. I don't really hear that very often from them. The actual small businesses, the folks who have 5, 10, 15, 20 staff, they understand that healthcare is a priority, and they value their staff and their high road employers that care about their community. And so honestly, like, I don't hear those talking points very often from our members or from people who were actively working to recruit, even in more rural communities. They may be skeptical of government's ability to fix the issue. And I think a general cynicism that has built over years, because people have felt like they've been left behind in the policymaking process. And so that's what I would say the thing I hear the most often isn't so much, you know, we need more tax cuts, we need to deregulate everything, we need to, be able to do whatever we want without any kind of regulation. It's more about, you know, what we're trying to do in terms of policy is immensely important. There's a lot of buy-in, but there's also a lot of folks who've been left behind for the past few decades. And I think that we need to really rebuild.
All right, Sean, I got to cut you off because we got to go to break. But this is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bray.